We are going to begin the sermon with a bit of an emphasis on numbers. And we're going to talk about numbers. And numbers can be kind of tedious and kind of boring. I'm going to need for you for just a bit during the sermon to put your little nerd hat on for a little bit, but I think that we can manage that as numbers are tedious. But I also want to take the opportunity here, because numbers play a great role in our life. And Sister Erin is with us here today, Miss DeLapp. She's right back there. And I don't know how many of you know this, but she was our numbers czar here at Oakwood Christian School for many, many years, our numbers czar. And she was the high school math department. She was the man. She's a woman, but she was the man. She was our math department. And one of the things that she also did to help train the younger students and just bring joy to all of us is she steadfastly trained all of the elementary students, whether they were bound to end up at our high school or go and transfer to other schools for their high school years. But she trained them, and she trained them well. And oftentimes we'd be greeted with this phrase that kind of went like this: 2, 4, 6, 8, and they would respond, "Miss DeLapp is really great." She had that. 2, 4, 6, 8, Miss DeLapp is really great. So thank you, Sister Erin, for all of that and those contributions over the years. And that's going to dovetail in a little bit with what we're going to talk about today, because you and I are more than a number. And I want us to know that. And I want us to see that here in the scripture. You and I are more than a number. Now, we had Acts 1:15 through 26 read for us. Sister Kristen, can we just put up verse 17 and then afterwards verse 20? I want to read those and then I want to pray. We've had this whole passage read for us. But Acts chapter 1 and verse 17 says, speaking of Judas, "He was numbered with us and had obtained part in this ministry." Verse 26, speaking of Matthias. "And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles." Father God in heaven, we thank you for this passage and the other passages we will look at. Father, we thank you. We glory in the precision of the scriptures. And we know, Lord, that your gospel has gone out to all people in all languages, and we ourselves here are enjoying this English translation. But Father, you gave us this word in a language far more precise than English. And so as we look at that and explore that and put on that nerd hat for just a bit, help it to redound to us giving greater glory to you for who you are, for the communication that you have sent in your word, and for the truth of the fact that we who are in Christ Jesus are far more than a mere number. We pray that you would help us to see this, and we pray we would know it, and you would make these truths known to us. In Jesus' name, amen. 2, 4, 6, 0, 1. 2, 4, 6, 0, 1. Have you ever heard that before? Does that ring a bell to any of you here? 2, 4, 6, 0, 1. It comes from what is certainly among the greatest of novels ever written, Les Miserables. Written many, many years ago. Victor Hugo's massive story. If you got a book, even a paperback, it's like this fat. Hugo's massive story about law and about love. I never read it. I am the beneficiary of being a more modern person here, and so there's been many movie renditions of the movie. I've seen some of them, and then more recently, several years ago now, but more recently, there is a wonderful musical rendition of it that stars Hugh Jackman. Perhaps you remember him from Wolverine, Hugh Jackman. And then the other, the antagonist of the musical, I'm sure you may recognize this name, Russell Crowe, right? He was the gladiator, right? And then he had another movie where he was the gladiator in a boat, you know, master and commander. And then he was the gladiator in a boxing ring. He was the Cinderella man. But those were the two main characters and actors there. 24601 was the prisoner number of the protagonist, played by Hugh Jackman, Jean Valjean. And the antagonist was Javert. He was the bad cop. And even in the musical version, even when he was singing about Jean Valjean, he never referred to him as Jean Valjean. He referred to him as 24601, his prisoner number. Now, having a number, and even being a number, has its place. Having a numerical ID can bring benefits to us. In my wallet, there's a driver's license. And you know what? Whoever wants to examine that for whatever person, for whatever reason, is IDing me, not as Jim Jujak, but as my ID number on my license. Having a number gives access. It can have benefits. We're not trying to discount any of that. It can have those benefits. But being just a number, is impersonal. I was down at the mission the other night. You know what? They're all assigned a number, but when it came time for roll call, names were called. Names were called, not numbers. Being a number, being only a number, is impersonal and can be dehumanizing. Think of your typical prison community, often known as prisoner number blah, blah, blah. Think of the Nazi concentration and death camps, Buchenwald, Auschwitz. Numbers inscribed into body parts, tattooed. Numbers where all those people were. Now, don't get me wrong here. Both Judas and Matthias are named. They're named in the Bible. The Bible tells us so. Right? If we look at slide 17, we see he was numbered, speaking of Judas, right? Earlier on in the passage there, he is referenced by name. And then Matthias is referenced by name here in this passage, but Judas is referenced earlier. Both Judas and Matthias have names. And a lot of people make only a little bit about this, but both of them are numbered. You see that first one there? Judas was numbered with us and had obtained a part of this ministry, and Matthias was numbered. They both were numbered. You know, but I'm not so sure that there isn't a little bit more to it than that. You see, you wouldn't know it by looking at that, in that English translation there. You wouldn't know it by the English translation. But while our English Bible uses the word numbered there in both of those verses, the Greek uses very, very different words. I'm going to show them to you here. Slide 2. The one referencing Judas is verse 17. You saw that. The one referencing Matthias is verse 26. In your English Bible, likely you have the word numbered there. The King James certainly does. But this is what the Greek tells you here. Now in verse 17, we got a little preposition here, and it's kind of like the idea of with,
And boy, what is that root? You know, that preposition, that prefix with is very, very common. But the root and the main part of that word there.
Arithmeo. It sounds like arithmetic to me. That is where we get our word arithmetic from. He was a number.
Now, when we come to verse 26, we have two prefixes here. These are very, very rare, and we'll get to that in a minute, words. And they're very complicated words in the sense that they are compound words. And so you have this whole idea of sug here, and that means together. And then you have with. Together with, and then you have the root word, which really means number or count here.
And this word here doesn't sound like arithmetic at all, does it? To me, it kind of sounds like a Pfizer vaccine or something like that. Sephizo is how you say it.
That last part. Sephizo. Arithmeo.
We get a grip on arithmetic. We think arithmetic, we think numbers. But you know, sephizo, the root meaning of sephizo is pebble. And that kind of makes sense, especially in the ancient world, because pebbles were used for counting. And perhaps you've seen the devices where they string pebbles there and they do their mathematical calculations on them, right? They're pebbles. So pebbles here is certainly related to numbers and certainly related to counted and being counted. So we see that here. But I don't think this is without significance. And after all, God only gave us this much of Revelation. So every single piece of it must have some significance for us. So arithmetic, okay, he was counted, he was numbered among them, and the other guy is a pebble, right? And he's numbered and he's counted. So they both mean to count, but one is just a number, as in arithmetic. The other, I think, means far more than just a number. This is challenging for me as a pastor, and I say that because normally you like to find other supports in the Bible for where you're going. The trouble here is both of these words, this is the only time they are found in the New Testament. In their compound form, as you see it here. So it's very, very difficult to say, that's what they're really getting at here. Nonetheless, we're going to explore this. Even though they're only found once in this compound form here in all of the New Testament, the root of verse 17, arithmeo, is found many, many times. And in particular, it's found 11 times in the book of Revelation. Arithmeo. It includes those references that you see in the book of Revelation where he's talking about people receiving the mark, the number of the beast, and 666. Arithmeo is assigned and used there. The number of a man. The number of the beast. 666. Now again, this is the root, arithmeo, that is used when speaking about Judas. Now, the root used for Matthias, again, you know it's a different root. We explored that. Sephizo, that root is also in play in the book of Revelation. It's there. I want us to look at Revelation chapter 2 and verse 17. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him that overcomes. A little sidebar here. We've talked about the word overcome, which occurs all over the book of Revelation. Nikeo, we get our word Nike from it. God wants you to be an overcomer. And so every time you see that Nike swoosh, whether it's on a baseball cap or a t-shirt or on your sneakers, I want you to think this. It means overcomer. And so whatever it is, those challenges and temptations and sinful tendencies that all of us have, God wants us overcoming them. That's what's found here.
He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him that overcome, the Nikes among you, will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone. And in the stone there's a new name written, which no man knows except for him that receives it.
Now again, this stone comes from the same root word that is used for Matthias being numbered. Remember? Pebble. Right? Pebble. That's the word here. So, Judas is getting a number. They're both counted. Judas is getting a number. Matthias is getting a pebble. A white stone. A white stone which has a new name written in it. And by the way, remember that prefix. It's not only with arithmetic for Judas, but when you get to Matthias, it is together with. Together with. He's brought in. He's given this new name and he's brought in. And this white stone, it's linked with the new name. So some translators will say that Judas gets counted, like a number gets counted, but Matthias gets enrolled. He becomes a part of the team. He is together with those receiving a stone. He's enrolled. And when I use the word enrolled, that should remind you of the Lamb's Book of Life. And if your name is enscrolled there, you are enrolled. And don't forget the bumper sticker. We have it out on the sign here this week. He that has the Son has life. He that has not the Son of God has not life. And later on in Revelation, there is this looking around for those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Looking around for those who are enrolled. Counted and in company with those who have received the pebble or the white stone. Enrolled in the Lamb's Book of Life. Part of the team.
By the way, in the ancient world, a white stone was used for acquitting, meaning you're declared not guilty, you're free, you're not going to be charged with this crime. It means that you now have approval. And it was used in voting processes and election processes. You're acquitting. I approve you. The black stone was used for condemning.
You know, we're all guilty before God in and of ourselves, but Jesus dies for us, right? Jesus dies for us, and in the courts of God, we receive a white stone. We're acquitted because of what he did. We're given a white stone. We have God's approval. God is satisfied. That's what Isaiah 53 is all about. He's satisfied. We are justified because God is satisfied, for the punishment owed us has been paid. A black stone means that you're condemned. By the way, you know, if you ever hear the word, you know, someone is blackballed, that's where it comes from. Somebody who's blacklisted, right? So you're a Hollywood star and you say the wrong thing. You come out for Christ and you don't toe the line of political incorrectness. Guess what? You get what? Blackballed, blacklisted. You're not invited to the parties. You're not invited to be the star in the next movie. That's where it all comes from. Blacklisted and blackballed. The ancient world where there were these stones in their voting processes. And by the way, if we look at that passage in Acts in chapter 1, Matthias was not elected by men. He was chosen by God. They were very clear about this in their casting of lots. They knew how easily even they could be faked out. He was chosen by God. He was enrolled by God. Chosen by God, enrolled by God, given a white stone. When it says he was numbered, that's that pebble. That's that stone given to him with a new name. It's personal. Believe it or not, this has a lot to do with us. If we look at 1 John in chapter 5 and verse 9, this was our New Testament reading here. If we receive the witness of men, well, that's pretty good, the witness of men, right? I think you guys are pretty good Christians. Most of you even may be on a church roll. Your names are listed there. That's pretty good. But what's even better is the witness of God, right? See, remember Judas being numbered, right? He kind of had the witness of men. He was numbered among us. He was on the roll. Matthias was chosen by God and enrolled by God and given that white stone so that he had a name. Matthias was receiving not the witness of men, but the witness of God, the one that's greater. It's one thing to be counted by men. It's another thing to be chosen and enrolled by God. And you know what? If we look at our gospel lesson, Jesus here is far from treating us as numbers. I know lots of times in our institutions we're treated like a number. Oh, he's just a number. Who's next? Right? Jesus is far from treating us like a number. If you remember our gospel lesson from last week in John chapter 15, Jesus goes out of his way to say, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And I have ordained you to go and to bring forth fruit." You guys know this passage. But even earlier in that passage, it says that you are no longer servants. For a servant doesn't know what his master is doing. You are called friends. Palace servants is what that word means. You're princes before God. You're brought in. You're not just servants. You're not just kind of, okay, give me number 47. You're brought in. You're called friends. And then even farther on in the Gospel of John, you're not only not servants, and not only simply palace servants or friends, you become brothers. Part of the family. I don't know about you, but I don't know how many families refer to their children numerically. I mean, I know as a joke some do, right? You got 12 kids, oh, that's number one, that's number seven, that's number eight. But normally it's, you know, Tommy, Sally, Jimmy. We used a name. Jesus brings us into his family. Not servants, not friends, but brothers, family members who share in the same blood, the blood of Christ. And we are enjoying the treatment that is similar to the treatment that is given to Matthias. We are way more than a number to Jesus. How do I know that? How do I know that we're way more than a number to Jesus? Do you remember the high priestly prayer in John 17? I have manifested thy name unto men, who you gave me out of the world. Thine they were, you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Our relationship and our connection with Jesus and God has been established from above. Thine they were, and you gave them to me. But you know, it gets even better than that. It gets even better than that. In John 17 and verse 9, I pray for them. Comparing and contrasting that to the next clause, I don't pray for the world. Right? I pray for them. Do you know that Jesus prays for you? I pray for them. I don't pray for the world. He prays for me. He prays for you. He prays for us. In verse 11 of this passage, there's the promise of Pentecost. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. And he asks his Father to keep them. How's that going to happen? Remember, Jesus says, it's expedient for you that I go away. If I don't go away, the Spirit will not come. But if I go away, I will send the Spirit, who will abide with them, who will abide in them. That's how we're kept. We're more than a number that's tossed here and there. That is insignificant. We're way more than that. Praying for us, giving us the promise of the Spirit. How about the security that we have as we find it in verse 12? While I was with them in the world, I kept them. That's pretty good security. And those that you gave me, I have kept. And none of them is lost. But the son of perdition, that's Judas. And that was done also that the scriptures might be fulfilled. You know, this is reminiscent of this whole idea of John chapter 10, where Jesus is the good shepherd, and I and my Father are one, he says. And you know, those who know me, I call my sheep, okay? And they know me by name, and I know them, and this whole idea of intimacy, and they are put in the palm of my hand, and no man shall take them out of my hand. Talk about security. We have the security of verse 12. And then we have real life in verse 14. The idea that, okay, you know what? We're a palace servant with him. We're a part of the family. We're flesh and blood, if you will. We are to be like Christ in this world. That means we're going to have persecution. Jesus doesn't shy away from telling us that. But all that comes with the territory of been giving this white stone, right? This white stone that is given to those who are overcomers, if you recall. So we overcome these persecutions and these battles. And in verse 14 it says, I have given them your word and the world has hated them. Well, guess what? With that hate comes persecution. The world hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. All this is a part of our sanctification, and it's a part of our mission. Our sanctification, verse 17. Sanctify them through the truth. Thy word is truth. So we have this. And how about this for a mission? As you have sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. We conclude our service each week with a commissioning here. The Great Commission. Our response to that ought not to be, thank God it's over with, because that's the beginning of being recharged. When I say recharge, I think of, you know, your typical Christian comes to church and boy, I feel good and I feel recharged, kind of like a battery. What happens in the Great Commission is you're recharged. The charge comes to you again as you walk out those doors and you win the world for Christ and you make disciples of all nations. And by the way, in that Great Commission, it doesn't say make disciples of some of the people in every nation. It doesn't say make disciples of some of the people in every nation. It says disciple the nation. President Trump was known for thinking big, right? Jesus thought really big. Discipling not just some of the people in every nation, discipling the nations. We are all part of the mission, not just a number, a name, and a part of this mission. The world may think of you as just a number. And increasingly, brothers and sisters, the world will think of you increasingly as a number. And only a number. The world will treat you just like Javert treated 24601. But God distributes white stones of vindication, vindication because of Jesus. And within that white stone, far more than a number, he gives us a new name. All God's people said, amen. Amen. Father God in heaven, we thank you. This was a tad tedious here, but we thank you for the Greek language, the precision of it, that you have given to us. And Father, we thank you for what we are able to explore here, that your people are precious to you and you are near to them and you protect them and you're their security and you're the one who gives provision, even the provision of your Holy Spirit. And you know us intimately, and you give reward. Father, we praise you. We thank you for this. And Father, we thank you for the addition of Matthias, and that the scriptures are fulfilled and there is the fullness, not only of the 12 tribes of Israel, but the 12 holy apostles. We praise you, Lord. We thank you for this. And Father, more than anything else, help us to be those who are confident in your calling and your witness and your testimony within, so that when the roll is called up yonder, that we indeed will be assured that we are there, because we are there with you, and you are there in us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.